Okay, so we are continuing on our series titled Like a Tree. And Like a Tree is born out of Psalm 1 and John chapter 15, as we've been covering. This is week number 3. And if you're a new visitor here, this tree is kind of a simple way that God describes the kind of relationship he wants to have with us and the kind of life he wants to bless us with. God wants to bless us with a life that's privately healthy. Everybody say privately healthy. And then also a life that's publicly fruitful. Everybody say publicly fruitful. That's God's plan for the life of every one of his children, that you would be good in private, but that you would be fruitful in public, just like a tree. And so this series is all about breaking down the principles, discovering the power of how every single person can become a person who's privately healthy. Like really, really good, just in your own skin. And then also the kind of person that's fruitful for the glory of God, which we're going to be talking a little bit today. And so, but before I go into the message very quickly, last week we sold out of our Like a Tree bracelets, and we've got more today. Some people are like, yo, I want my bracelet. And so we've got them today. And we also have wallpaper for the phones and all kinds of cool stuff that we've been passing out. Just to really, we've given out magnets. We've given out these seed papers so that you could do things with your children. I want to talk about one thing. I really want to encourage you in a moment. But let's go ahead and read Psalm 1, and I want to encourage you, read it, memorize it. Memorize the words, get the image, and all of the spiritual imagery. This is a vision of the plan that God has for your life. And this is so deep. This goes beyond the American dream. This goes beyond being, quote, successful. Okay, we're going to be touching on that. But we're going to go ahead. Let's read this together. And you know why I want to encourage you to do that? Because when you do that, you get to experience the blessing of having the Word of God on your lips. Okay? So when I say let's all read together, don't be the guy who goes just... Right? Come on. It's like... All right, here we go. Ready? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Come on, let's praise God for his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to be like a tree that doesn't wither regardless of the season that hits you. He wants to enable you to be prosperous in every season of your life. He's able to do it by his mighty power. But it all has to do with your relationship with God. And this week, we're touching on another facet of your life below ground, because a tree lives in two places at the same time, just like you and I do. You and I have a public life, and then you and I have a private life that no one sees. You see, these are the facts of life. God wants to be a major part of our private life. And this is the way we're breaking it down from this psalm. So your private life, which is your life with God that no one sees. This is a space reserved just for you and Jesus. A place that is so special, so powerful. It's bigger, better, busier than any place that you could go. A relationship with Jesus is the absolute best. Somebody say amen. Now, when you have that relationship with the Lord, then the above ground life as children of God, the Bible says the greatest among you will be the servant of all. We call this the realm of service. And this is your life with God that everyone sees. And by the way, everyone does see. You see, people see who you are and how you're bearing fruit for Jesus. Now, we said this last week, and below ground goes first. So remember this, the journey of blessing begins below ground. I said it, I'll say it over again. If you really want to be a person that's blessed, the journey of blessing begins below ground. Just you and the Lord. What is this? This is an invitation for you to spend time with the Lord, to have a relationship with the Lord, and that's where it all begins. Nobody can steal that from you. No one can steal that from you. This is so special, so wonderful, and it's just God wants to meet you. When you go home, when you get into your car, He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is with you thick and thin. How many are grateful for the nearness of God? Now, what we're doing as we explore the underground life, last week we talked about the anchor root. Everybody say anchor root. Because trees have an anchor root. All the roots anchor the tree, but trees, the first thing it grows is an anchor root. And we talked about the anchor root last week. Go check it out. But let's talk a little bit more. So what roots do is they anchor for stability, but then they process and digest nutrients. They process and digest nutrients in three or four different ways. They absorb it, they store it, and then they transport it. So when you and I eat, it goes into your mouth, into your stomach, you digest it, and then it makes all of your body healthy. That's the way it works. It's the same thing, and the truth of the matter is that not just trees, all living organisms have to be fed. Everybody has to eat. And everybody does eat. Now, not everybody's diet is the same. Diets have a huge impact on how we live, on the quality of our lives. Diets are a big deal. Every person here is feeding on something. Okay? And when we talk about food, you notice that what God has done is He has moved eating into the spirit realm. Because there's physical eating, but then there's spiritual food. You see? And everything in between. Some people, they feed on money. Some people feed on status. You ever meet someone that how they look is the biggest thing on the planet? You know? It's like how they look. So, it's funny, yesterday I ordered Mexican food, and so when I come to the door, I'm in shorts, my hair was probably like this, grubby t-shirt on, and I open the door, and the brother's walking up, and he was like, oh, Pastor Toledo, it's like awesome. There goes that. Anyway, we had a wonderful conversation, and yeah, they get you sooner or later. So some people, that's such a big deal, you know? How many know how you look to God is way more important than how you look to people? Some people it's pleasure, some people it's comfort. Some people it's culture, some people it's family. Like, there's all different ways that we feed. If you're a doctor, like someone decides to become a doctor, guess what? They take at least, I think it's like an 8-year mental diet of medical information, right? So their mind is filled year after year, hour after hour. It's like a diet for the mind, you see? So, and then they become. Now, what does that actually mean? And what is this message actually telling us? This message is telling us that our diet determines our destiny. Okay? You tell me what you're eating, and I'll tell you where you're going to end up. Your diet determines your destiny. So we really should pay attention to what we're taking in. You see, because this is an irrefutable fact. Your diet determines your destiny. So there was I think it's on Netflix, I don't know, but they did a documentary of a guy. It's called Supersize Me. So this guy did an experiment, 30 days. He decided that he was going to eat only McDonald's for 30 days. So no diss to McDonald's, but the facts are the facts, right? About 30 years old, regularly, pretty healthy. And so by day 21, one of the doctors said, you really should stop this, just stop. This thing is making you so unhealthy right now. Okay, it was a total of 90 meals, right? So here's what ended up happening to him. He had massive headaches, significant mood swings. He was depressed. He was exhausted. They told him after doing some kind of test that he was 2 times more prone to heart failure and heart disease. He had fat in his liver. He had massive cravings. His cholesterol jumped to 230. He gained 24.5 pounds in 30 days. And he had all kinds of other, breakdowns and dysfunctions take place in his life. Why? Because if you don't eat well, then you don't end up well. Okay, so this is kind of like, this is important. Everybody say this is important. You see, because everyone is eating different kinds of food. So we're talking about spiritual nutrients today. Spiritual nutrients is good for you, mind, body, and spirit and soul. Amen. You understand? Not everything is good for your soul. Not everything is good for your emotions. But when you meditate on the law of the Lord, you become like a tree planted by streams of water. You become fruitful. So our life with God fundamentally below ground gives us 2 types of nutrients, okay? Our soul and our spirit actually needs 2 types of spiritual food. Last week, we talked about the food of the Word of God, and I want to encourage you. It is impossible to grow in God without the Word of God. Read your Bible every day, every day. Read your Bible. Okay? You can put that on my tombstone if you want. I want to be the pastor who said, read your Bible every day. Why? Because if you read your Bible, it will nourish your soul. You see, it'll bless you. It'll strengthen you. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Okay? Now, we are doing everything that we can, even in this series. This is not a commercial, but this is an encouragement. Okay? We've created devos. They showed me a devo. I heard a story before I walked in this morning of there's 2 little girls who are coming to this church. And her parents don't come to the church, but somebody brings them, and they came, and they're it turns out that they're doing this Devo. We have three different Devos for the Like a Tree series. We have the adult one, we have a youth one, we have a children's one. Yeah, this is the youth one, and then we have a children's one. They're doing this children's Devo. They're learning about the Word of God. And look, if you're a mom or a dad or a nanti or a titi, right, whatever, however you say it in your culture, it's simple, right? And maybe you've never done this before. Do it. I challenge you. Find someone to do this with. Look, this is for children. They have the verse, just one verse there. The big idea, growth happens from the inside out. Deep roots come from time with God, and that makes our lives strong and kind. And then they read this thing to the kids, and then there's questions for the kids, and then you pray with them. 5 minutes. Everybody say 5 minutes. 5 minutes to serve someone into blessing and victory. 5 minutes to have an eternal generational impact. Do it and watch the power of the Word of God not only bless them, but start to bless you. When you take the Word of God and you tell somebody, look, the Bible says this, you walk away saying, wow, that's good. That was good for me. You understand? And so we need the Word of God. Amen? And I want to encourage you, do whatever you can to fill yourself with the Word of God. But there's a second way that God nourishes us below ground. Yes, we attach to God when we're reading the Bible. But then the second way God nourishes us is through His will. A lot of people don't understand this. This message is really spiritual, okay? But you need this. You need to understand. Part of what we're doing right now is we are connecting your below ground life with your above ground purpose. Okay? So I'm going to give to you one of the passages where Jesus actually explains this. This is for all of us. God's will fuel your life. It'll feed you. And here's what went down. So Jesus had just finished doing miracles. He had just finished doing all this stuff. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, you got to eat. You know, you eat. You know, we're concerned about you. Eat some food. You're tired. And here's what Jesus said. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now stop right here, everybody, look at me. What are we talking about? We're talking about something that is not going to be found in some kind of nutritional book. He said, I've got food to eat that you know nothing about. We're talking about something spiritual. We're talking about something kingdom. You can be fed by the kingdom of God. You understand? By the Word of God and the things of the kingdom. So part of what has to happen, and I'll read it in a moment, is you and I want to invite you before we pray. We have to open our eyes and we have to open our hearts to things that go beyond this world, that are more important than this world. Okay, so he says this. Then his disciples said to each other, could somebody have brought him food? Talk about missing the point. You realize you can be having a conversation with Jesus and not getting it. But today we want to get it. So watch this. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Somebody say his work. See, there's your work and then there's his work. There's your will, then there's God's will. We're talking about God's will today. All right? And notice what he says. He says, don't you have a saying? It's 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So as you receive this word today, here's the word of the Lord to you. I feel with great conviction I could say this is the word of the Lord to all of us. Okay, listen to this. This is one of those things, I've done this 1,000 times. I've said to Chrissy, you know what, I'm gonna have this cherry pie right now, and tomorrow I'll start the diet. Right? So I'll start the diet tomorrow. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, when it comes to my will, okay, don't put it off till tomorrow. Amen. All right? Today, don't say 4 months, I'm going to start getting serious about God. Right? 2 weeks, I'm going to start getting serious about God. No, today is the day to get serious about the Lord and the plan of God for our lives. That's what the Word of God is saying to us. You see, this is deep. This is serious. This is very, very powerful. So I want to pray, but let me say this to you. Without divine purpose, we're on our way to becoming spiritually unhealthy. You see, you can't really be healthy in the long run if you're not living to please your Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. Lord means that he's the master of our lives. You see, and Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the way all of us got set free. That's the way all of us were healed. That's the way all of us have been saved, is because Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. And so I want to attach your private relationship with God right now with your big picture eternal purpose. You see, because God has plans for your life that go way beyond your imagination or understanding. Amen. But they're good, they're pleasing, and they're perfect. And they will be powerful. Amen. So, the title of the message today is Your Fuel. And I want to ask you, right, is God's will fueling you? Because it's what fueled Jesus. So come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for our online family. And God, I pray for anyone who's watching online. I pray, Father, that they would be fueled by your word and your will. I pray, Lord, for every member, every visitor, every person in this building right now. I pray for our children and our teenagers. God, feed us with your word. Feed us with your will. Let us say like you said, my will, or my food, is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. We want to begin by acknowledging that you created us with a purpose, and we want to fulfill that purpose. Bless this time. Bless the next few moments. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for deep and profound spiritual transactions to take place. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about what really fuels your life. And this is such a huge topic. I could preach for about 5 hours on it. Thank you for saying, go ahead. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, but we're going to just cover the beginning of it. Today we're going to cover like the first aspect of the will of God. And I want to say this, okay? The will of God is something that unfolds through attachment. It unfolds through attachment. If you want God to send you like a fax, he's not going to do it like that. The more you're close to God, it starts to unfold. And then there comes a point where he actually starts to declare it and define it and on and on. But the beginning of it, it starts through attachment. You attach in private. And as you're attaching to the Lord, as we talked about last week, if you didn't hear last week, go back and listen to last week. You attach him. And then it starts to unfold for you. Right? When you give your life to Christ, you're not going to get this like 10-point plan. All right? He's going to show you. And the truth of the matter, I'm going to tell you why that happens. Right? Part of the reason why that happens is because if God told you the plan before he grew you into it, you would walk away. Right? And you interview anybody who's really been used by God, and they were like, thank God he didn't tell me about that. Oh, no, no, no. You know, but when God grows you like a tree, you're like, by the grace of God, I can endure what's coming. I can have a church, right? I can have a church in Jordan. I could do this. I could do that. I could be in the toughest place on the planet if God is with me. But in the beginning, you grow through attachment. Okay? So we can't cover all of it, but that should be enough. You stay attached, you will find the will of God. Amen? So, but what we're saying is it feeds you. So, number one, God's will fulfills your soul. You see, we are spirit, soul, and body. You and I have this emotional, psychological construct as well as a spirit. And when you start to really step into God's will, true fulfillment is only found in God's will. People don't necessarily understand that because they don't understand that he has food that we know nothing about. So did you know that Michael Phelps, after winning 23 gold medals, confessed that he got so depressed that he was suicidal? Why? It's because gold medals will not fulfill your soul. Did you know that Jim Carrey, the actor, after winning another, like getting another blockbuster hit, you know what he said? He said, everybody should get rich and famous so that they could see that this is definitely not the answer. Right? Now you would say, yeah, I would like some of that, not the answer. But the truth of the matter is, if you're miserable when you're rich and you're at peace when you're poor, I'm telling you right now, it's better to be poor than rich. It's better to be full than empty, you see. And remember, he says, whatever they do prospers. God is in the blessing business. You work hard, you follow the Lord, he will bless you. He will prosper you. He will. He'll do things for you. You'll be blown away at how God provides. He's Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. When you become a Christian, you don't take a vow of poverty. That doesn't mean that you're instantly poor. I serve Jesus poor. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. But the principle is important to be able to discern the difference. You should be able to tell the difference of what actually fulfills you and what doesn't. You see? And I'm telling you right now, only God's will fulfills. He's the only one that can really satisfy your soul. There's food that fills the belly, and then there's food that fulfills the soul. So it happens in the spirit realm. And again, attachment and fulfillment run together. Listen to what Emily Griffin said. He is the one who can tell us the reason for our existence, our place in the scheme of things, our real identity. It is an identity we can't discover for ourselves that others can't discover in us, the mystery of who we really are, right? And so like I was thinking about, it's such an old example that I'm prone not to use it, but you know, if you ever saw The Chariots of Fire, the movie The Chariots of Fire, right, there's a scene in it where I can't remember the guy's name, it just came to my mind, but there's a Christian guy who actually didn't run on a Sunday because his convictions were, even though his best race was he said, no, I'll run on a Monday, and he still ended up winning the gold medal, but that's beside the point. Everybody thought he was crazy. He said, no, I won't run on the Lord's Day. But anyway, they're about to run this race, and a guy turns to him and says, I've got 10 seconds now to prove my reason for living. And he was like, I don't feel like that at all. He said, God has made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. You see the difference? Plus, he said, and I know that I'm called. I'm going to go to China. I'm going to go do things for God in China. You see, there's a fulfillment that God can give you that goes beyond your immediate circumstances. It's just between you and God. So look, the food of the world makes you compare and compete. Did I get enough likes? How many followers do I have? You know, you don't care about that. Oh, yes, you do. Right? So God doesn't want you to live comparing. Oh, they got that car. We got that. They got this. Some people live in that world. You understand? So the food of this world, it makes you compare, makes you compete. The food of the Spirit will make you serve and be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Let me give you a quick example. Quick example. This happened this week. One of the pastors their back was hurting, and they called one of the brothers in the church, and he's like a physical chiropractor. I don't know how to define it, but he's one of those guys. So he texts in the morning. The guy says, yes, I've got an 11 o'clock or whatever it is, and he goes there, and the guy helped the pastor. Everybody was happy, and the guy was like, oh, I'm so happy. But here's what the guy said. He goes, you know what? Listen closely. He says, you know, it's crazy because I had the strangest string of cancellations today. And all of those things were canceled. And then when you came, I was like, oh, cool, there's room for him. And I got to serve you. He goes, that's why all of that happened. I got to serve you today. Right? Now, so he loses all of this business, but he's still at peace. Because life is bigger than just getting the deal or getting the sale. Actually being a blessing, actually serving, actually fulfilling something, fulfilling the plan of God is so much bigger. And guess what? He knows, oh, God will make it up. How many know God will make it up? God will take care of me. I don't have to be worried and fretting. Not if you're like a tree planted in streams of water. See, God can take any moment, and all of a sudden your schedule, you're not depressed. Some people, it's like they lose the sale, there goes the world. But what if you're attached in private? You're like, all things work together for my good. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me. This might be a tough moment, but God is going to see me through because God is faithful. I will prosper. I will not wither. Hallelujah. You see, but look, if you're struggling with that, you're like, I don't know. It's because you're not attaching deep enough yet. But I'm telling you right now, your life with God that no one can see is the best life. Because it makes you walk in this world differently. You see, all of a sudden you have an eternal purpose. You see, brothers and sisters, God has a plan for you to impact eternity. Okay? He wants to use your life to make a difference for eternity's sake. right? One little Bible study with a kid can transform their eternity. You see, it could be a generational thing. It's powerful and it's purposeful, and you never miss out by doing the will of God. Come on, somebody say amen to that. So I'm telling you, so all of a sudden, the things that used to move you, when you know you're in the center of God's will, you're just good. Like, this is your will, this is your way. There's ups and downs on this life, but every day God is good. God is good all the time. All the time God is good. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Celebrities peak, but then they wither out. All other things just wither over time. But Jesus wants to fulfill us. Now, the second thing that God's will does, I thought I heard the keyboard player. Yeah, yes, very good. The second thing that God's will does, it actually energizes you on a daily basis. How many want some energy when you wake up tomorrow? Hallelujah. Life is in part energy. The Holy Spirit will give you energy. And it all flows based on God's will. Now look, a lot of times people in the world, they tap into this to a certain degree, but not to an eternal sense. But look at what a Harvard professor said this. He said, I apply the rules of econometrics a few times a year, but I apply the knowledge of the purpose of my life every day. It is the single most useful thing I've ever learned. So you could be an expert in field A or B or C, but the single most important thing, the thing that will really energize your life, is what am I on the planet? Why am I here? I was made with a purpose. And that will give you energy. Let me give you a quick example. So Jesus was teaching about this. How many remember when they were trying to trick Jesus or trap him? And so they said to him, hey, should we pay taxes? Right? Because nobody wants to pay taxes. They were like, let's see if we could get the people not to like him. So he says, give me a coin. So they give him the coin, and he says, whose picture is on it? And they go, Caesar. So he says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. It's the one answer I wish he would have answered differently. Right? So Jesus said, pay your taxes. But then he said, and give to God what belongs to God. What was he saying by that? He was saying that the coin of your face is the image of God Almighty. You were made in the image of God. Drink that in. You were made in the image of God. And so, what do we give to God? We surrender to His will. And then we start to experience the life-giving flow and energy of God. So when you commit to God's will, the Holy Spirit will give you three basic things. First of all, the Holy Spirit will give you spiritual strength. You see, there's physical strength, but then there's spiritual strength. Spiritual strength flows from the Holy Spirit, and it enables you to handle things and to do things for the glory of God, God's will, God's way, that all of a sudden you're like, I don't know how I do this, but all of a sudden I can do this. I can be loving. I can be kind. I can serve. I could die to myself. Why? Because there's strength. How many know there's strength from the Holy Spirit available when we want to do God's will? Just know this, right? Look, anytime God says, I want you to do this, He will also give you the strength to do it. The Bible says, He who began the good work in you, He started it, He will also carry it on all the way to completion. What He started in you, He will strengthen you spiritually day by day. How many want to finish His work? He started it, He'll finish it. He promises strength. See, a lot of people don't experience the strength of God because they're not surrendered to the will of God. But when you surrender to the will of God, the strength of God begins to flow. Another thing that it does is it gives you, the Holy Spirit will give you supernatural emotional energy. Emotional energy. Like a certain kind of joy, a certain kind of courage. They were arrested. They were chained in the Bible, and they were singing songs in the middle of the night. Okay? All throughout history, that's been going on. Courage. You know, look, this life is tough. But there is a strength from God. There's a joy. There's a peace from God that surpasses all understanding. See, look, when someone is doing God's will is the big antidote for depression. You're doing God's will, you find yourself happy in Jesus because He grants emotional energy. You're like, hallelujah. God is so good. The three Hebrew boys are going to be thrown into the fire. They're like, we don't care, we're good. You know, but they step into the fire and there was a fourth man in the fire. Hallelujah. How many know He's the fourth man in the fire? He's the friend that sits closer than a brother. There will be emotional energy, courage, like this kind of like stuff that makes you different. And the last thing is supernatural focus. I love to meet people who've really tapped into God's will for their life. Because you know what you find when you meet them? Focus. Focus. Right? Oh, let's go do this. No, I can't do that. Because I got something to do that's more important than that. How many want that focus from heaven? He'll give you spiritual strength, spiritual energy, supernatural focus. You know, this is like a real challenging story, but it's such a victorious one. This just happened recently. You know, one of our staff, well, two of our staff members, Juan and Zoraida, a year ago, they experienced a tragedy. So Juan's nephew was driving, minding his own business. He's driving a car. And little did he know that coming from the other direction, there was a car chase. The cops were chasing this guy. And he was driving reckless and all of the above. And so anyway, the guy veered in. And this guy was bright. He had a wonderful career, like just a wonderful guy, and his life was taken in this car accident. So a year goes by. Finally, the court case comes. This is less than a month ago, I think, about a month ago. And after all that time, this guy was not remorseful. Like the guy, like, wouldn't take responsibility. The guy wouldn't, none of that. So anyway, he got convicted. He got life. And like, how do you make sense of something like that? Jesus said, in this life, there's many troubles. But take heed, because I've overcome this world. So the sentencing comes, and some of the family members got to testify. So Zoraida got to testify. You know what she did? Led by the Holy Spirit. She looks at the guy. The guy who snuffed out this young innocent life. She looks at him. And she calls him by name. And he looked at her. And she said, I'm calling you by name because God knows you by name. And she says, I just want you to know, we don't hate you. We forgive you. We hate what you did. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him, they would not perish but have eternal life. And you can have eternal life. And I pray that you find Jesus in prison because he died for you and he loves you. Hallelujah! Where do you get that kind of strength and energy from? So they said the presence of God filled the courtroom. The prosecutor started to tear up. The judge was blown away. They said, we've never seen anything like this. You see? But God turns a tragedy around so that his son gets glory. And listen to this. Listen to this. What was heaven thinking? Right? Think about heaven looking down on Juan and Zoraida and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. You acted like my son Jesus. Well done, well done. So that they could still walk in peace and walk in comfort. And let me tell you something. Nobody knows. Imagine when they get to heaven, that guy will be there because she was full of surrendered enough to the will of God to set aside her pain and say, Jesus, you're my comfort. Jesus, you're my strength. Jesus, I want to bear fruit for you even in the most challenging circumstances. How many want to make an impact for Jesus here and now in the good days and in the bad days? Hallelujah. That's what God can do when we surrender and say, not my will, thy will be done. Right? Everybody's heard that before. Not my will, come on, say it with me, thy will be done. See, part of attaching to God, when you attach to God, the more you attach, the more you surrender. The more you attach, the more you surrender. The more you surrender, the more you start to be fed by God's will. You start to discover things about God's plan for your life. Do not say, well, I'm good at math, and I'm good this way, and so I should be doing this. Okay? Right? You have no idea the different ways that God wants to use you, and you don't even know how God has gifted you. You see, all of it is discovered as we just attach and let the will of God begin to flow into our lives. He's right there. He's right there with you. He's close. If we just attach and surrender, he begins to feed us and strengthen us.